Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell, and we got basketball to talk about this hour. We're going to talk with Rob Blackman from Purdue's Radio Network, talking about the Boilermakers and the championship game. Matthew Graves, the new coach at Indiana State, will join us. Jeremiah Johnson from the Pacers. That's all coming up in this hour. Right now, though, turn it over to the star of the show. It's Network Indiana's Corbin Lingenfelter.
Thank you, Coach. It's great to be with you and Landon Coons on this Saturday night. Now, let's get some MLB scores in to start. How's that sound? In the middle of the seventh inning, the Arizona Diamondbacks hold a 4-1 lead over the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals are out-hitting the Diamondbacks 8-6, but still trailing there by 3 in that game. The Cubs have taken an early 1-0 lead over the Seattle Mariners. 2 hits for the Cubbies in the middle of the second inning. Earlier on today, in Game 1 of a doubleheader, the Cleveland Guardians fell to the New York Yankees 3-2. The Detroit Tigers fell to the Minnesota Twins 11-5. The Cincinnati Reds, or the Red Legs, as Andy Sweeney calls them, won 5-0 over the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox dropped to 2-12 on the season. Cincinnati improves to 8-6. Now, we mentioned there was a doubleheader earlier for that Yankees Guardians. In game number 2, the Yankees took that game as well. Final of 8-2 in Cleveland. In Indiana high school scores, Tecumseh falls to Vincennes Lincoln 8-1. Jimtown beats LaVille 13-2. South Newton falls to DeMott Christian 13-7. Morgan Township defeats Bremen 6-2. Benton Central loses to Cascade 5-3. Eastern Green put up 14 runs to North Knox's 10 for the win, and Fort Wayne Wayne falls to Fort Wayne Northside 10-7 on the road. Mooresville takes down Covenant Christian 5-3, and Concord falls to Manchester 5-1. Wapahani and Northeastern, this was a very high-scoring game. 29 runs in total. Wapahani comes away with a 15-14 win over Northeastern, and I don't think I've ever seen a baseball score this high. Twin Lakes defeats Maconaqua 23-1. Also, earlier on in minor league baseball, the Toledo Mudhens take down the Indianapolis Indians 13-4. In high A baseball, the South Bend Cubs defeat the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers 11-3. 14 hits for the South Bend Cubs to 3 hits for Wisconsin. Joe Romero takes the win. He's 1-1 on the season. The Indy Fuel, how about a little bit of hockey? They're tied at 2-2 in overtime at Indiana Farmers Coliseum on Fan Appreciation Night. The Indy 11 also were losers earlier on today, 4-2 to Charleston, one of the top teams in the league. Now, we mentioned a little bit about the NFL draft, but there's also another draft coming up. This one on Monday. The Indiana Fever will be on the clock with the first pick in the WNBA draft. They're projected to take Caitlin Clark, the standout from Iowa. Now, there is a player from Indiana projected to go in this draft. That's Mackenzie Holmes. Right now, NBC Sports projects her 7th overall in the second round, going to the Connecticut Suns. The Indiana Pacers were losers last night in a game that could have sealed a playoff berth for them, but the team is not batting an eye.
We've worked really hard this year to be in this position, and you know, you could say, well, you should be in a better position, you should be in a worse position. It really doesn't matter. You know, it's all up to, you know, this one game and being ready to go. We've worked really hard.
And that one game will come against the Atlanta Hawks coming up tomorrow. It's an early one. Tip-off is scheduled for 1 o'clock. As you can hear the game on the Pacers Radio Network on here locally in Indianapolis on 93.5, 107.5, The Fan, Indiana, and Atlanta. Winner though, if the Pacers win, they do get the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference Championship. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Monday night, Purdue plays Connecticut for the men's basketball championship in the NCAA. You all know the results. The man who had the courtside seat, the voice of the Purdue Boilermakers, Rob Blackman, joins me. Rob, thank you so much for the call. I hope you've had some time. You and everyone else have had some time to decompress and appreciate what a tremendous season this has been for the Boilermakers.
Yes, thanks for putting it that way, Bob. That's a good way to put it. A little bit of a decompress and, more importantly, a chance to take a deep breath and appreciate just how much fun this season was. Obviously, losing in the national championship game is not necessarily fun, but the fact that you were in said national championship game for the first time since 1969, that is actually pretty fun. So, look, Purdue finishes 34-5, a national runner-up, Big Ten champion, and the regular season, and just a season full of so many highlights. First trip to the Final Four since 1980, as I mentioned, first time to play for the national title since 1969, school record 34 wins. So a whole lot of things to like about this season. It just unfortunately didn't end up with a victory on Monday night.
I think the coach in me looks at it this way, and it's the speech I would, and I'm sure Matt in some form tried to deliver it. And you think of the numbers of people who play this game, and you can all say, and it can never be taken away from this group, that we played for a national championship. We didn't win, but we did something everybody else doesn't do. We played for a championship, and that you permanently now have locked in reunions every 5 or 10 or whatever the numbers are going to be. You know, the saddest part of all of this is you won't all be together again. You won't all be out on the court again. But the upside of all that is you'll be together in history as the guys who played for a championship.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? You think about that. As you said, every time this group comes back for a reunion or to be honored at halftime of the game or whatever it might be, they'll get the loudest applause because they certainly did things in Purdue basketball history that had not been done before. And of course, look, when you have a guy like Zach Edey, who is a generational player, he's obviously always going to be thought of as I'd have a tough time believing you're not going to think of him as the greatest player in Purdue history when you look at his accolades. But even if you don't put him number one, maybe you have Rick Mount or Jill Berry Carroll or Glenn Robinson, whomever maybe in your particular mind you believe is the best player in Purdue history. No doubt when Zach Edey comes back, he will be treated with a reverence that very few have been treated with as they've come back to Purdue after what the back-to-back type of seasons he has, being the unanimous national player of the year, not once but 2 years in a row. So, the great thing about all of that is certainly no matter what was going to go down as a team, Zach Edey was going to be as recognized as one of the greatest in Purdue history. The fact that he was able to bring his team along with him and make this historic run to get – look, you know this, Bob, in Division I men's basketball – every coach wants to be playing on that first Monday night in April because that means you made it to the national championship game. And Purdue can say, no matter what happens from here to the end of time, this team will be able to say, we played on that first Monday night in April, which is the goal for every team that starts the season. So, and then certainly there is no shame in that. It was a magical, magical season.
I think it's also a situation, too, for the kids to get some redemption, and Matt, too. I mean, let's face it, for all of them to get redemption for what they went through a year ago. And as Matt has said more than once, they had to sit in it, they had to deal with it, they had to own it, and they did. Okay, I got all them. It's easy to say, yeah, we got to do all this, but they did. And that's another memory that they can take because there are a whole lot of people, a whole lot of teams are not able to do that.
Yeah, you know, it was so interesting. That very first game of this tournament played in Indianapolis against Grambling State. There were some nervous Purdue fans, I can promise you
sure.
that. Because it was a 116 game, which is obviously what tripped up Purdue last year against Fairleigh Dickinson. But it just felt like once Purdue won that game, that maybe not from a team standpoint, but certainly from a fan base standpoint, everyone just kind of
right.
exhaled a little
right.
bit. And really started to appreciate just how good this team was. And then the next game, you know, they handled Utah State pretty easily. And then, mm-hmm. quite frankly, you know, beat Gonzaga pretty easily, to be quite honest with you, in that
right.
16 game. Now, the Tennessee game was tough, obviously, to get to the Final Four. But it just felt like once that first hurdle had been cleared, beating Grambling State, of all teams, it sounds crazy to say it, but just felt like once that first hurdle had been cleared,
right.
that it was time for Purdue to make a deep run in the rest of the tournament, and that's exactly what they did.
He's Rob Blackman, the voice of the Purdue Boilermakers. Rob, thank you for your time. I know you're busy. I'll talk to you next weekend. We'll talk some football. But thank you so much for spending time with me tonight.
You bet, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. Starting off with some baseballs, Lebanon and Beech Grove. That game went 8-1 final in favor of Lebanon. Then down in Bar Reeve in the South Spencer area, Bar Reeve wins 8-0 over South Spencer. Twin Lakes over Maconaqua 23-1. Greensburg falls to Columbus East 3-2. Rossville takes down Tipton 12-2. Bloomfield 10. Linton Stockton 5. Warsaw also fell to Elkhart 3-2. Garrett takes down West Noble 11-4. Bloomington South was winners 13-3 over East Central. Oakwood over Attica 14-4. And South Adams takes down Fort Recovery 4-1. In Major League Baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals trail in the top half of the eighth inning, 4-1 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Cubs and Mariners are tied at one apiece. They're in the top of the third. Earlier on today, two games were played between the Yankees and Guardians. The Yankees took both those games. In game number two, the Yankees won 3-2. The Minnesota Twins were winners over the Detroit Tigers 11-5, and then Cincinnati Reds were 5-0 winners over the Chicago White Sox. The Indianapolis Indians fell tonight 13-4 to the Toledo Mud Hens. And then the South Bend Cubs were winners 11-3 over the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. In a final from the Indy 11, they win 3-2 in overtime over the Kalamazoo Wings. I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
When St. Jude opened in 1962, childhood cancer was considered incurable. Since then, St. Jude has helped push the overall survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. St. Jude won't stop until no child dies from cancer. Join me today in supporting St. Jude by calling 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 to become a partner in hope. Your gift to St. Jude could last a lifetime.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Joy in the Wabash Valley area. Earlier this week, Matthew Graves named as the head men's basketball coach at Indiana State University, replacing Josh Schertz. And we're honored to have Matthew Graves join us. Matthew, thanks for the call, and congratulations on this great opportunity for you and your family.
No, thank you so much, Coach. It is a absolute dream come true to be the
yeah.
head men's basketball coach at a Division I program in your own backyard. So it's absolutely unbelievable. And my family's excited. My parents are elated that they don't have to drive very far from Swift City to come up and watch their son coach.
I was going to say, everybody down in WRV, they're fired up right now. Are they not just like the old days?
Oh, absolutely. So anytime they're you know, it's a Sycamore home game. You know, anybody that wants to rob Sweat City there, probably be a good time when the Sycamores are playing to head south to Greene County. So we're gonna have a lot.
Let's go back.
A lot of fun.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It was a magical year for everybody, and it's so neat to see it. You know, you and I've known each other for a long time, and I was happy for you and happy for Josh, happy for the people in the Wabash Valley and in Terre Haute and the Indiana State alums to see. You know, see the Holman Center full, rocking, crazy, watching some unbelievable basketball, and literally, you know, Hoosiers, we can appreciate the way they played, the manner in which they played. It was just a fun thing to watch.
You know, there's no question. You know, the fans in Indiana in general are very educated about their basketball and obviously very opinionated at times as well. There's a lot of coaches there in the stands. But that's a good thing because it just shows the passion that this sport has in the state. And, you know, in the Wabash Valley, you know, I remember growing up at, you know, and playing at White River Valley. And, you know, I was asked, you know, by a reporter, what was one of your fondest memories, your first memories, you know, of the Holman Center? And it was actually a game we lost my sophomore year at White River Valley. We lost in the championship game of the regional that year to Terre Haute South. And they had Brian Evans
right.
and Steve Hart. And,
right.
You know, that team,
right.
That team was a really good team that went on to the Final Four. And I remember, though, when Josh hired me, you know, a little bit over 3 years ago, he said, "What does this town really embrace basketball? What's it like to see the Holman Center full? Have you ever seen it or experienced that?" And, you know, I was able to share some of those memories. But the one thing that, you know, back then that you take away, it was all a dream. And, you wondered if it could ever happen. And to relive these moments, you know, this past year and especially the last 3 weeks, we were basically a 2-hour infomercial on Indiana State, Terre Haute, and, you know,
right.
nationwide
right.
story. So, you know, the lights were shining bright. And you know what? Our guys handled it so magnificently. We've got a lot of, you know, great players, and they did a great job, you know, marketing, you know, Indiana State University.
Well, now the reality sets in. I mean, you've been a head coach before at South Alabama. You understand the lifeblood of your program, two different things, one, recruiting, and two, scheduling. And so, you know, it's a brand new one. It's way different than what you dealt with at South Alabama now with the transfer portal. But, you know, as an assistant, you've been intimately involved in it. So, you know, you are reconstructing a roster, and my assumption is, philosophically, going to try to continue to do some of the things that you've done these past 3 years?
No, absolutely. So the easy question is the second one, the scheduling piece. For now, you know, up until about 2 weeks ago, nobody would, you know, return our scheduling calls. And now
– right?
Yeah, nobody would return calls, texts, emails. Even some of my closest friends would just, like, hit do not disturb. So it was very challenging, and, you know, we saw why. Because, you know, playing in the Holman Center is a tough venue, and we had,
sure it is.
You know, we had really elite basketball players, and we play an exciting style, and it's very difficult. But, you know, we'll figure out the scheduling here, you know, over the next few weeks and try to get some home games. And like I said in my press conference, I am not afraid to play anybody, anytime, anywhere. But at the same time, we do have to have some home games. And, you know, controlling
right, right.
who comes to the Holman Center,
right.
you know, that's hard to do. So you've got to balance that. And, you know, every year fans get upset about what the home schedule looks like. And, you know, it's just really hard to, you know, to get high quality games you know, at mid-major, at the mid-major level. So we're going to make the calls, and we're going to see what happens and see where it lands, and you know, go from there. But from a recruiting standpoint, the best thing that I have going, you know, for me here at Indiana State is, as I mentioned earlier, the whole country was able to watch us for the last three weeks run in the NIT, and we're going to play a very similar style. You know, and as I said, at the end of the day, you want to win games no matter how you do it. But my preference is going to be to win games 85-80 versus 62-60. So, you know, at the end of the day, if we win a couple games 62-60, as long as we're winning, obviously, we're going to take it. But we want to really play that up-tempo style. And what people kind of lose in that, I think, though, is it's not scoring the 80-plus points a game. It's not, you know, we want to try to average 16-plus assists a game. It's the joy in which our players played and how they shared the ball and the guys on the bench that weren't playing as much. That's what ultimately you're trying to recreate, because all of that fuels to an exciting environment, and that's what fans want to come back to see: the winning, the scoring, the unselfish play, and just the pure joy that our guys played with. That really, you know, culminated in, you know, playing in Hinkle Fieldhouse there for the championship, and that's why you had all of Terre Haute sitting there in Hinkle Fieldhouse for two different nights.
Well, you know, Hinkle brings up the memories. Look, you worked on scheduling when you were at Butler. You understand how difficult it is. You understand that. You also understand the recruiting things. And I wonder if philosophically, you know, you came out of Butler while they could run when they wanted to. You were not an up-tempo team. And so how do you blend these two philosophies in the places you've been?
No, that's a great question. And it's really, I tell people this all the time. Josh Schertz is in the upper 5% of college basketball offensive minds. He is absolutely elite in the way he sees the game offensively. And I had a front row seat on a daily basis for three years, being able to watch how he teaches, how we incorporate different things. And, you know, and guys that really study how we've played over the last 3 years, we've done it a little bit differently each year based on, you know, the personnel at our disposal. And ultimately, you know, you got to have really good players, and you know that you've coached at the Division I level, and it's you got to have players. And the thing, though, that I will say, the way we want to play, and also it kind of coincides with the transfer portal, our deal is recruiting versatile guys. We don't necessarily go out and say we just want a guy that's just a point guard, or for example, we don't recruit guys that we would project just to be the old school pick and pop four man.
Right.
We don't do that anymore. So it's this positionless basketball, and we've embraced that at the nth degree. So, you know, with our roster this year, you know, we basically in Isaiah Slope, Conwell, and Julian Larry, those guys are basically all three combo guards. And if you try
Matthew, yes. Hank, can you hang on through this scoreboard update?
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. Absolutely.
Perfect. Okay. Hang on. We'll come back and talk with Matthew Graves after the scoreboard update on Indiana Sports Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey, fam. I'm asking for your support. Help us raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. By pledging just $19 a month, you're helping St. Jude give every child with cancer a chance. Help St. Jude save lives. Call 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 and become a partner in hope today.
I'm Corbin Linkenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. Let's start with a little bit of basketball. The Indiana Hoosiers have landed a former Freshman of the Year. Washington State's Miles Rice is picking Indiana after he entered the transfer portal at the end of this past season. Rice helped lead the Washington State Cougars to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2008, and as a number 7 seed, they advanced into the second round before falling to Iowa State. Rice becomes the first transfer for the Hoosiers this offseason. Now in baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals have one more opportunity to get the bats working to get the game either tied or take a lead. They're in the top of the ninth, trailing 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Cubs are on top of the Mariners 2-1. They're heading into the bottom of the fourth inning there. The Minnesota Twins down the Detroit Tigers 11-5. The Cleveland Guardians fell in game number 1 of their doubleheader 3-2. To the Yankees, the Reds were winners over the Chicago White Sox 5-0 earlier on, and the Milwaukee Brewers 11-5 winners over the Baltimore Orioles earlier on today. The Indianapolis Indians fell to the Toledo Mudhens 13-4, and the South Bend Cubs were winners 11-3 over the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, and the Indy Fuel and Hockey were overtime winners 3-2 over the Kalamazoo Wings. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Before the break, we were talking with brand new Indiana State men's basketball coach Matthew Graves. Hey, I'm sorry to make you wait. I mean, a guy of your stature shouldn't have to wait for somebody like me.
No, absolutely. I would wait, on here for another half hour with you, Coach. It's
you're kind.
I appreciate you having me on. It's great. Hey,
oh, I appreciate it.
At the end of the day, there's very few people that understand the landscape of basketball and know as much about, especially Indiana high school basketball and the college ranks. So, I'm enjoying our conversation.
Well, I want you to know that you have an open invitation. You have my number. You have an open invitation. Call me anytime. I want to help you, as I do everybody. I want to help you get your message out across the state. I want to extol the virtues of Indiana State University and all that. And you and I go back a long way. We go back to your Butler days and when my time in the Horizon League, I enjoyed it. And I'm happy for you. I think you're in a perfect spot. Now, let's go back and talk more. Recruiting. You know what? You can pick up the phone now. And here's the deal. You're in a spot now, Matthew. I don't have to tell you this. You've been able to understand it these last few days. People will return your phone calls because of the run you guys just had. You get people's attention when you call and when you contact them. They know exactly what you're dealing with. So you got foot in the door, which is not an easy thing to do.
No, we've really got three things working in our favor right now. And, obviously myself and Coach Justin Furr, who is going to, stay on staff, we're a two-man operation right now. And
right.
Until we fill our staff. But, the great thing about that is you hit number one. We've been out there on ESPN and national TV, and a lot of people know our style of play. Number two. We have a lot of playing time available. So, these kids that are in the transfer portal,
right.
There's a lot of them that, they want to play. They, maybe they, went to a lower level and they want to try to transfer up and play. Or, they're at a high major and they just got overlooked and get an opportunity. So we have plenty of opportunity to play, Coach. So that's always a good thing. And then three.
Yeah.
I'm in the works, and Josh started the groundwork with it, and we've got a great group of ladies and gentlemen that are putting together a collective where we're trying to get that collective where
we can be competitive within our conference. And that's ultimately how you're judged. You know, we're not judged on how we do against Big East teams and Big Ten teams. And, yeah, I absolutely want to beat them. But ultimately, my job as a coach, I'm going to be judged about our 20 conference games and how we do when we go over to Arch Madness and, you know, if we can compete and, you know, consistently, have a chance to win championships. And so we have to have our NIL collective in that same vein of being able to compete in the top third in the league. And we've got a great group that is trying to enhance that. So when you put those three things together, the last 24 to 36 hours on my phone calls, we've got a lot of positive momentum, but we've got a lot of groundwork to make up because the portal's been churning for about a month, and you know, we've been talking to guys for 48 hours. I can say, we've got three kids that are going to be coming on visits, over the next week and a half, and we're slowly but surely making headway, and I've got a list several pages long of phone calls and text and things that I'm replying to about potential recruits. So we're going to get there. It's going to take some time, but I'm down to 57 days until June 10th when we start our first day of summer school, and we need to have our team ready to go. Back in the day, everybody's when you've been a part of job interviews and on search committees, and they say, all right, coach, now tell me about your 90-day plan. Well, we don't have time for a 90-day plan. So we're fast-tracking it and trying to obviously be diligent with what we do. And we got to, try to get the right guys. And, when you're trying to bring in potentially 9-10 guys, you're not going to get them all right. But, you better be getting most of them right if you want to, continue to compete at a high level. So we're going to put a great staff together and be ready to go.
Who's coming back from this year's team? I mean, I know you're bound to lose some. Do you know? Do you have some definitive answer on who's coming back?
Yes. So two of our freshmen, Derek Vorst, who was a backup center, 6'10".
Right.
We're excited to have him back. And Jaden Daughtry, another kid that played for us a little bit late in the year, 6'7", 220-pound kind of hybrid 4'5". So got two big guys coming back. Two other guys are, more 70-30 that they think they're going to come back. They just want to really think about it. And then we're really – a freshman that we saw, a high school senior that we signed back in November, he's down to two schools. He's either going to come back to us or go to another school. So, if we can do well the next week here and get three of those guys, so now we'd be up to five. Mm-hmm. So we could actually put a starting lineup out there. And, so it's coming. We're getting there. And, it's a process, and we'll get through it. But it's the one thing, it's not unique. It's really not.
No, not at all.
When Coach DeVries left Drake, their whole roster left too. So, they're in the same boat. Now they got a, 2.5-week head start on us, but, that's part of it. And there's plenty of players out there. It's not, it's not the players that, hurt you, the ones that, you miss on. It's the bad ones. If you get them, that really puts you in a bind. So we've got to, do our due diligence and make sure they're the right fit, for our program and the way we want to play, and, make the best of it, in this time. And the biggest thing moving forward, though, is we've got to find guys and be able to retain more of them. We're always going to lose guys here and there to the portal for various reasons. But the teams at the mid-major and low-major level moving forward that can have the most consistency with their roster, those are the teams year in and year out are going to compete for championships.
Yeah, and that's the biggest challenge recruiting-wise is to be able to put all that together. Retention It has always been important, clearly, but more so now in this NIL age. And I think that it's all about life is about relationships. And I think that, you know, that's the big part of it. And I think that's why you'll have success. And I think people understand how sincere you are and your staff will be. And that they'll find out they can get playing time, play in a great facility in front of a great crowd. That's attractive to people. It still is, no matter what people want to say. And I understand the NIL part of it's extremely important, too. But other factors are equally important.
No, no question about it. And, you know, we've got, you know, great evidence of what this fan base and what this community is like here in the Wabash Valley when they rally around a team that wins and competes and plays with joy. You know, those are all, you know, very important factors. And, you know, obviously my niche is recruiting here in the Midwest. And, you know, we have to do a great job on getting guys that, you know, maybe go away for their first or second year in college and want to bounce back to the state. And, you know, an Isaiah Swope and a Ryan Conwell, you know, are two great examples of, you know, that kids that, you know, we didn't get initially on the front end and they came back to us and, you know, had great success. And, you know, I've got a list of several guys that are that have Indiana roots that we're actively recruiting right now. And I think we can really, you know, hit kind of make that our niche, you know, moving forward with my background in this state.
Matthew, I have to run. Call me anytime. I'll help you any way I can. And congratulations again on this great, great honor.
No, thank you so much. Great, great talking with you. And I will.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
I'm Corbin Linkenfelter with this Network Indiana School Board update. Now, it's not often that we get to talk about some guys in the major leagues that have some Indiana ties, but let's do that right now. Colson Montgomery is a player who played down in Huntingburg for Southridge High School, drafted 22nd overall by the Chicago White Sox back in 2021, gets his start with the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the White Sox this season. And he's riding a back-to-back game home run streak. Montgomery goes deep in the 11-2 win over the Jumbo Shrimp, finished his night with two hits on four at-bats, scored two runs, had a double in that game as well, two RBIs, and was struck out twice for the young player there out in Charlotte from Huntingburg, Indiana. Speaking of some baseball scores, starting off in the major leagues, the St. Louis Cardinals were losers tonight, 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. That game went just 8.5 innings. Up in Seattle, the Mariners are currently trailing the Cubs 2-1, four hits apiece for both teams. The Guardians fell to the Yankees 3-2 earlier on, and the Twins won in 12 innings over the Detroit Tigers 11-5. In Indiana high school scores, Charlestown falls to New Albany 1-0. Crown Point loses to Penn 8-2. Goshen falls to LaPorte 3-2. Crawfordsville takes down Bethesda Christian 7-5. Salem puts up 18 on Crawford County, 18-6 winners for Salem. I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Corbin Lingenfelter, I need your help.
Well, how can I help you?
Pacers, Pacers tomorrow. What time do they play?
That game is going to tip off at 1 o'clock. It's early. Okay.
No, no, I'm involved in the Gritties tomorrow. Mm. Paul Condrey and Regional Radio Sports Network and Indiana Football Digest. I'm involved in, I'm emceeing the Gritties. And mm-hmm. So I got to be there at noon. So I am not going to catch, I'm not going to catch that. But that's okay. I'm happy to be invited. And, you know, just one of those things. So we'll do the best we can. And it's win and you're in? Is that kind of it?
Kind of, yeah. The Pacers will definitely be a quote-unquote playoff team. It just, if right. they win tomorrow, they'll get the sixth seed, which will guarantee a playoff series, rather than having to play in the play-in tournament to get into the playoffs. So
got it.
It's just a matter of, are you playing to stay alive each game, or do you get
right.
a few games leeway and get a play at home? So,
well, we're always hopeful that they play at home, obviously, because they play so well there. But I think they've done a fantastic job, to be honest.
Oh, they have, and especially on the road. They're 21-20 on the road this season. So
right.
Pat Boylan mentioned this morning, anytime that you can finish above 500 on the road, it's been a great season. So.
Yeah, I think it's especially true. I think you're right. You know, NBA, college basketball, high school basketball. I always say it. It's hard to win. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't care what sport you're in, what level. It's hard to win. You're going. The other people you're playing want to win too. Last time I checked. They're practicing, too. They're doing the same things you're doing in terms of offense and defense. There aren't a lot of great secrets out there mm-hmm. in basketball. It's a relatively simple game, and everybody does the same thing, whether you know, agree or disagree, like it, don't like it. They're all doing the same thing, let's face it, especially in high school and college basketball. Dribble drive motion, ball screen motion, or however you want to refer to it, same old thing. And it's boring. It's just I'm incredibly bored by it, but that's how it is. Everybody does it. All right, Corbin, what else is going on? What else am I missing tomorrow since I'm doing the Gritties?
Really not much. We're kind of in that, you know, dull period between the draft and the
right.
Pacers playoffs, NBA yeah, playoff right. stuff. I mean, coming up on Monday, you know, fever on the clock, first overall pick.
Right.
You know, a lot of people assume it's Caitlin Clark, but, you know, could we see something crazy happen in the WNBA draft? So
you never know. Our focus, though, right now on the Pacers. Corbin, thank you. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Johnson from Bally Sports and the Indiana Pacers joins us. We're talking about Pacers and Hawks tomorrow. Jeremiah, thanks so much for the call.
Happy to do it. Big weekend, big game coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, you guys have been in playoff mode for a month, for heaven's sakes. Are you kidding me? Seriously, haven't you?
I do think the players are probably tired of some of the questions about whether they look at the standings or the scoreboard and just whether they are into the different scenarios. Those questions can be put to the side because after tomorrow, it'll all be in black and white of where they are, although there's a little bit of an asterisk there. If the Pacers lose and the Sixers win, they'll have to go the play-in tournament route, and that's something that nobody is interested in. If you have to do that, you will, but you really just want to take care of your own business tomorrow.
All right. Can you hang on here through this short break, and we'll come back and talk about the matchups and all the other stuff. You have time to do that?
Sounds good.
Perfect. All right. We'll come back and talk with Jeremiah Johnson after this short break on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Jeremiah Johnson from the Pacers and Valley Sports rejoins us, Pacers and the Hawks, tomorrow. What time's tip-off tomorrow?
1 o'clock. Pre-game radio television coverage at 12:30. And for my friends that have to report 6 or 7 hours early to get that television truck ready, I think they've got a 6:30 a.m. crew call. So it'll be a short night. But it does. Ooh. You mentioned playoff-like feel when you have these afternoon weekend games and the sun is shining. It does feel like a playoff game. So you hope you have this game with some success, and then you have the repeat of a home playoff game in a couple of weeks at Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
Now, do you have trouble sleeping on nights like tonight?
Because I'm nervous or because I have to get up early and work?
Both. You know, you're like I am. I can never sleep the night before I have something really, really important to do. Never, ever. So I didn't sleep the entire time I was coaching, for heaven's sakes.
Well, you know, I tend to get – it's a good question. I'll listen to some podcasts. I'll listen to some music. I need to get a little distracted. But the wake-up call will come early. But I've been used to that. I've got a freshman in high school that seems like he's got to be at either a football workout or a basketball workout.
Right.
Almost every single day. So I'm getting up early, whether it's for work or for family.
All right, what's the matchup with the Hawks like? What's the history been this year? What's it look like for tomorrow afternoon?
Well, the history has been mostly Pacers success and not much defense. There was a game where it was the in-season tournament pool play game, and I think it was 155 to 151, Pacers won in Atlanta. And it was it was kind of the poster child game for what was wrong with too much offense in the NBA. And it did seem like since the All-Star break, the officials have called fewer fouls, let the game get a little more physical, and scoring's down just a little bit. But these are two teams that still have the capability of putting up big numbers offensively. Trae Young has been injured. He's going to be coming back. Atlanta doesn't really have anything to play for because they're locked into the 10 spot, which is a play-in tournament game coming up on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And they've got to win two games this week just to get into the playoffs. So they've not had a good year. They've had a lot of injuries. They don't play any defense. The opportunity is there for the Pacers to take hold of this one early and get that fan appreciation crowd fired up and give them an early taste of what a playoff-like win is. Because as you mentioned, this is basically a playoff game. You have to win one more game to get into the playoffs, and you just as soon do it on Sunday and then have the week to rest and get ready for a playoff series, which, looking ahead, would probably start next weekend against either Cleveland or Milwaukee. And both of those matchups could be pretty entertaining, but you got to get this win first.
Jeremiah, I know you have a short turnaround. I'm glad you called. It's always great to talk to you. Good luck to the Pacers tomorrow and into the playoffs. Thank you so much for doing it. As always, have a great week.
All right. I know you've got shows coming up for the next month, so hopefully we'll be talking every weekend because the Pacers will still be playing.
That's the plan. That is absolutely the plan. Have fun tomorrow. Thanks for calling me.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.